Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now and allows me to be here on Wednesdays, and certainly appreciate it. In addition to doing the radio work here, I'm the executive director of Our House Ministries, where I work with Father McKay full-time, and also on the board of the Calyx Society, involved in a number of other things, and just blessed to be able to be here on Wednesdays and share some of that with you. But before we get going, I've got a couple of announcements to make. April is going to be a busy month for Kathleen McCarthy and some of us that know her. The weekend of April 10th to the 12th, there will be the Divine Mercy Retreat out at the Malvern Retreat House. Kathleen will be there for the weekend along with Father Steve DeLacy and Bishop Efren Esmilla. And it should be an awesome weekend. You can register online at malvernretreat.com. The retreat begins at 4 o'clock on Friday and will end after the 3 p.m. Divine Mercy devotions on Sunday. Again, that's April 10th to the 12th out at Malvern. Another one-day retreat will be April the 18th from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Fatima Church in Piscataway, New Jersey. That's at 501 New Market Road in Piscataway. Again, it'll be Kathleen McCarthy along with Bishop Esmilla and two other priests, Father Timothy Christie and Father Ignatius Mary Okoroji. And again, that's a one-day event. You can learn more about this retreat. I thought there was a website, and I don't have it. For more information, best bet would be to give Maureen a call here, and we can get you put you in touch with the people that are actually putting on that weekend. Oh, and there is a website, www.olf, like Our Lady of Fatima, olfparish/event. The cost for that one is $45 in advance or $50 for registration at the door. Another one-day event up there in Piscataway. And then our annual Wake Up America dinner is going to take place on Sunday, April the 26th. It takes place from 1:30 to 5:30, again, back at the Malvern Retreat House in the dining hall there. The theme this year, Happy 250th Birthday, America. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants. There'll be an address by Kathleen. Most of the radio broadcasters should be there. We have a silent auction and drawings for raffle prizes. You can register for the event by mailing your check to us here at In His Sign. The cost is $60 per person, $110 per couple, or $450 for a table of eight. So why not find six or seven friends and get a table and come out and join us. It's always a great event, a lot of folks on hand, great prizes and auction items, and usually get a good meal when we're out there at Malvern. We'll be putting up the flyer on the website this evening, so if you check starting tomorrow, you should be able to download the flyer that has all the information on registering. There's also opportunities, as always, for sponsors. You can help us out by being an event sponsor, a luncheon sponsor, or the raffle gift sponsor. Again, all this will you'll find on the flyer. You can download from our website at inhissign.com, probably later on this evening, definitely by tomorrow morning. Speaking of our website, you can always listen to the recorded shows. If you happen to miss a show or want to re-listen to all or part of a show, You can find it at inhissign.com by clicking on content and then podcasts. I try to keep it updated each week and should have everything up to date, hopefully tonight and tomorrow morning at the very latest. I think that may... Oh, speaking of retreats, August 24th to the 26th, the Matt Talbot 57 group is going to be out at Malvern. A group for men that are in recovery. You can register for that retreat at malvernretreat.com. And if you're going to come out for the retreat will probably end around 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. You can hang out and walk the grounds for a couple hours and then come to the Wake Up America dinner in the afternoon. Somehow or other, the past few years, those two things, Matt Talbot 57 and the Wake Up America dinner, have fell on the same day. And then, if that weren't enough, August 14th to the 16th, I'll be out at Malvern along with the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group, our annual retreat. Father John Large will be our retreat director. Another weekend begins at dinner time on Friday, wraps up by noon on Sunday. You can register for that one at malvernretreat.com as well. I'm going to hold off on some Matt Talbot announcements. I think I'm going to spend most of the 5 o'clock hour giving you an update on Matt Talbot's cause for canonization in the film and all things Matt Talbot. So I'd ask you to stick around for that if you can. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially Freemasons, the enemies of Holy Church, and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. Our patron saints, guardian angels, and all the saints and angels, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Normally, this is where I announce that this is a one-hour call-in show, but we're still having some issues with the phone lines. We still need to work on some of the equipment. So I'm not going to be able to take your phone calls today. What I would like to do, and will do here as I'm speaking, is... I'll get over on the our Facebook account, and if you've got a question or comment, I'll try to take a peek at that from time to time. It also serves as a reminder that we are on Facebook Live. You can see me live on the In His Sign Catholic Radio Facebook page. I see there's only one person out there, whoever you are. Thank you very much for watching. But if you've got a comment or a question, as the show progresses, by all means, pop out there on Facebook on the In His Sign Catholic Radio page and post it there. And I'll do my best to see it and respond accordingly. I want to start off this show talking, we'll do the gospel from today because it's interesting and ties into some things that I've experienced over the past few days. So the gospel at Mass today is taken from the 20th chapter of Matthew, verses 17 to 28. And it reads like this. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, that is not mine to give, but for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord, and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And I had initially thought, and I'm probably going to tie another topic in here as part of this, but I was looking through my missal, taking the Mass with me every day, and primarily it's not just for to know the readings or what have you, but it prevents me from getting distracted. If I have my nose in my missal, I'm not looking around and getting as distracted. And so I've kind of used it as an anti-distraction tool for a number of years now. One of the things I do, I always have a pen on me, and at each Mass I go to, I'll write in the margin the date and then where I attended Mass. I've got some connotations in there, like a C in parentheses if I went to confession that day. I don't know what my kids will think of it. I'm definitely going to die someday, but when I pass, if they get their hands on my missal and trying to decipher everything, I have a key in the back that has the abbreviations for all the churches that I've attended, so that they'll know. But I want to talk about the gospel initially, and then I want to talk about the prayers at Mass every day, many of which, without a missal or something like the Magnificat or the Word Among Us or some of the other publications out there, you may be missing a really, really deep ways to pray. So we'll talk about that, I think, towards the end of this hour. But for now, I want to start on the gospel. And there's a couple of themes here that are real easy to pick out. First of all, that what struck me was, you know, Jesus tells them that he's going to be mocked, scourged, and crucified. And immediately after that, so he makes this announcement that somehow or other he's going to be tortured, crucified, and then says, and he will be raised on the third day. And rather than question him about that and what have you, the next paragraph, the next verse goes right into the mother of Zebedee wanting to make sure that her boys are taken care of when they reach the kingdom. And so pretty indignant, if you will. And, you know, I think it's something that at least my mother may do. You know, we're always looking now for our kids, and we want what's best for them. And, you know, I often wonder why Matthew might include something like this in there. But it did give Matthew an opportunity to tell us Jesus' response, and that basically all the apostles were going to suffer. To some degree, when he asks them if they can drink the same chalice that he's about to drink, it's basically saying, are you going to be willing and able to accept what's coming your way when I'm no longer there? And of course, they have no idea what they're in for. All but John and Judas, I guess Judas would take his own life. John would get to live out his days with the Blessed Mother. But the other 10 would all die a martyr's death. And so I'm not sure that that James and John knew what they were signing up for when they said that they could drink the chalice. But the other thing that Jesus lays out is not only are they going to suffer when it comes time for them to leave the earth, that, and not necessarily suffer, but that they were going to have to be slaves or servants. And it's kind of what separates the Christian faith from most other religions. It's what separates the Catholic faith from most of our cultures these days, especially the American culture. And, you know, this idea of being a servant or being a slave. And I know the term slave has, for many people, a negative connotation. But for those of us that are willing to become slaves for Jesus or slaves for Mary, those of us that have taken the consecration to Jesus through Mary, and it's a joyful slavery, because we know that we are serving God's people in one way or another. And it doesn't mean that I'm perfect at it. I know a lot of people that are a lot more perfect at it than I am. But the idea that that's how we're to live our lives here on earth, not to worry so much about what we need, what we want, but how we can be of service to God and others. Wrote a little column on Substack today. NotSaintsYet.substack.com is where I'll do my writing and put the highlights and links to the recordings of the show out there. But back on the 25th last week, we talked about step 12, and it's really, you know, in the step the 12-step program. It's the idea that we become servants. When we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, it's not so we can go and sip, you know, mocktails on a beach somewhere. It's so that we come to serve God. And so the 12-step program has all kinds of Christian overtones, Catholic overtones, because it came out of a Christian organization, the Oxford Group, and was heavily influenced by Catholics like Saint Sister Ignatia and Father Ed Dowling, Father Ralph Pfau, and others. And so this idea of being a slave or a servant for any of us that are Catholic or Christian should not be a foreign term and not looked at as something to be negative. And I know that before I sought out a way to live that type of life, it was just the opposite, being selfish, self-serving, always looking to get what I want, what I thought I needed. And I would serve others. I mean, I had great role models coming up in my mother and father. They both volunteered for all types of things, especially in the parish where I was growing up at Holy Martyrs. I remember my father always being involved in the carnival every year, and my mother going down, she was a lunch mom, and helped kids that were struggling a little bit with their studies and that type of thing. So I always had a thread or something in me that would allow me or cause me to volunteer for, you know, various activities that would benefit other people. But it wasn't a lifestyle that I set out to lead. And after getting into recovery and learning that the only way that I get to keep my sobriety is to share it with other people, that you do become a servant to other people sometimes. You've got to give them your time and your talent and maybe even sometimes your treasure in order to help them get over the hump or help them to have a better life. And I know on a daily basis that when I do that, that's when I can put my head on the pillow at night and get a restful sleep. If I do the exam at night and, you know, all of a sudden remember the faces I've seen and things I could have done or should have done and didn't do, that's when I've got to make a plan in order to try and repair it and do better the next day. And which leads me into what I was up to over the last 4 or 5 days or so. And I just realized the odd or God about a half hour ago or an hour ago in preparing for the show. And I, after I read the gospel again, in preparation, all of a sudden it hit me. I flew down to Florida on Friday evening last week, and I spent 4 days or 3.5 days with my father, who goes down to Florida for, I guess, 6 months or 6 months and a day at least every year. He's got his Florida residency. And he's turned 90 last September. And, you know, if we're – and the word's not lucky, because I don't know that – you know, you can say that you're lucky enough to live to be 90. But if you don't have all of your physical and mental capabilities, I don't know that it's luck to live that long. And God knows that, you know, obviously people are living longer today than they did 30, 40 years ago, certainly longer than they did 100 years ago with the advancements in medical, in the medical science and things that they can do for us. They can keep us alive for a lot longer. I don't always know that the type of life that you have is worth it. And I'm not here to judge anybody on whether or not they want to live or how to live. But it was definitely an interesting weekend. On Sunday or Saturday afternoon, I went to the vigil mass at St. Peter the Apostle in Naples, Florida. And it was literally standing room only. After mass, it took me 15 minutes to get out of the parking lot. So you look around our churches up here sometimes on Sunday, and they don't appear to be full, maybe even half full. Well, guess what? I know where everybody's at. They're all in Florida. I haven't seen a church that full on a Saturday or Sunday in a long, long time. And an awful lot of elderly people. I think they had a dozen extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. That's just the, you know, just how it was. But obviously, it's a lot of folks that have retired from work and have either moved to Florida full time or spend the winters there anyhow. But the primary purpose of my trip was to check on Dad, see how he was doing, and try to did some repairs around his house that needed to be made, and then gathering his information for his taxes. And you know, it's just one of those things. You know, you live to be 90 years old, and I've heard arguments about whether or not you know, pay taxes as seniors, whether or not seniors should still be paying school taxes, because obviously they won't have children that are in school. And I know both sides of the debate, and I'm not here to debate that. But you know, it gets to a point in our parents' or grandparents' lives where they just don't have the wherewithal to be able to take care of this stuff. And so I spent all day Monday and a little bit on Tuesday combing through mail and computer records and what have you in order to pull his tax information together. And then Monday night, a friend of mine went with me, and we went to meet her her friends that were just arriving back to Florida. They have a place south of Naples where they spend most of the winter. And they were just coming back from this area because they had come up to check on the mother, one of their mothers. And, you know, it's the same kind of situation. Unfortunately, it, you know, doesn't have the capability to live by herself anymore, and had moved into assisted living and just recently in the past few weeks. So had come up to spend time to, you know, try and help her get settled in her new space, and it's, you know, so I know I wasn't alone, and that was Monday night. And then last night we flew back from Florida, and we get off the plane, and I see a woman coming out of the woman's room, and here it's a friend of mine that's in a Divine Will Senecal with me each morning. And here she was on the same plane. She said she saw me in the airport when we were in Fort Myers, but wasn't sure that it was me because of the beard. She hadn't seen me in a while, I guess. And so we were chatting as we were leaving the terminal. And here they were had just gone down to Florida for the same thing, to check on her mother and to make sure that everything was okay. And so this is I don't think it's new, but it's certainly newer in terms of decades, maybe in the past 30, 40, 50 years, where, you know, folks my age and a little bit younger are finding themselves having to be servants. I mean, we need to, take care of our parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, those that can no longer take care of themselves full time. And I know a lot of them, like my father, are still living independently. And it's great that they can to some degree. But there's, you know, little signs here and there of daily struggles that they encounter. And, I watch with my father and the blood thinners that he's been on for years. And in some ways he looks like a one giant bruise, and it's real easy for him to bleed and get new wounds. And I don't mean to make anybody squeamish, but it's just one of those things that he needs help on a regular basis. Fortunately, he's got a friend that's there with him that does that. But, you know, all this to say that while today's gospel, you know, reminds us that we're all called to be servants, called to be slaves to God and servants to our fellow man, that the way that we can and will serve comes in a whole number of ways. It can be when we're younger, you know, serving our parish and the people in it. As we get a little bit older and have family members that need our help, that we can be there to help them. We were flying home last night and, you know, kind of talking about it just a little bit about, you know, how we go from having our parents change our diapers to maybe having to do the same for them when they can't take care of themselves anymore. It hasn't gotten anywhere near that with my father, but definitely in need of care. And I know, at least for me, you know, my father is open to accepting the help. A lot of people are that I've talked to have had folks that they've tried to help that resist it. They still want to do everything on their own. They don't want to give up the privacy. They don't want to give up the keys to the car and what have you. And then there were some hard conversations over the weekend, and I knew that going in. I got prayed up, and everything seems to, at least for the time being, have worked out. We'll see what happens when they come home for the summer in May. And not that I expect anything to change, but how blessed I am to be in a position where I am able to help and am willing to help and have the support of my siblings. Sometimes they do more for him than I do, as far as going to see him and taking care of some of his needs. But we all have a different role. And, it's just one of those things where we have to have a sense or an eye open to recognize, you know, when and where we're needed and how we can help. And sometimes it can be frustrating because we don't know exactly how to do or what to do. But one of the benefits of being Catholic and having a prayer life is, you know, we have great resources at our disposal that somehow or other can manage to help us out. They either put the right person in front of us that can help us out, or, you know, gives us the words or the ideas that we need in order to help. So we've reached the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion of today's gospel and how we can become slaves and servants to those that God needs us to do it for. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906. Or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. I mentioned at the outset of the show that we're still unable to take phone calls, but I am out on Facebook. We do Facebook Live here whenever the hosts are in the studio. And if you go to our webpage, or our Facebook page, rather, In His Sign Catholic Radio, the live video is out there, as well as your ability to comment. So if you've got a question or comment you want to pass along, I do have it up and checking it from time to time. And more than happy to respond if you happen to ask a question or a comment. We were talking in the first segment today about today's gospel and this idea of being a slave or servant in order to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. And it's one of the gifts that I've been given is the at least the notion or the idea that I don't want to be as self-centered or as selfish as I used to be, and try to do the best I can to help whoever it is that God has sent my way, requesting help, or the person that God has put directly in my path that's in need of my help. And you know, God knows in this world today there are so many people. That can use our help. And before we went to the break, I was talking about being in Florida and this kind of odd or God that three different sets of people myself and a friend and another couple, Kevin and Judy, and another couple, Lindy and Mike. Somehow all of us were traveling. Two sets of us traveled from Philadelphia to Florida to help our elderly parents, and one was returning back to Florida after helping their elderly mother up this way. And so, you know, that's one just one example of how we can, you know, be servants to other people. And it's not always easy, especially if they're not grateful for the help, or they give us a hard time when we're trying to help them. I was blessed over the last 4 or 5 days to be appreciated. It wasn't always it may not always be the case when you try to help other people, even if it's obviously for their own good. And so, being able to be of service to the somebody that, you know, raised me and made sure I came up in the faith and gave me the foundation that I needed in order to succeed in life, even though I needed to make a few detours and thought I was finding my own way, only to be led back. And so I'm really grateful that I was able to take care of some things like I did over the past few days. And the other part that I wanted to share in this hour, and it's like we had the gospel, and if you weren't with us when we first got started, you know, I mentioned that I take a missal with me to Mass all the time, and you know, make notations in it. I'll put the date each day when I go, and the church that I went to. And it was a tool to avoid distraction. But one of the other things you get, whether it's the missal or the Magnificat or any of the other publications that are out there that give you the daily readings, in addition to those daily readings, it'll give you the prayers that we offer and pretty much the priest offers at Mass each day. And depending on the individual priest, you may hear those prayers or you may not. And not that they're not said audibly, but depending on how fast they're said and the diction that the priest may use in order to say those prayers, you may not get all of it. And so I had started writing articles back during Advent of the prayers that were being said at Mass daily. There's really three of them that are part of the Mass. The Collect, which is the prayer right after the penitential rite at the beginning of Mass. So you'll have the Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, followed by a prayer, and then the Collect. And then the next prayer, it would be the prayer over the offerings, which is during the offertory, after the celebrant has prepared the bread and wine for the consecration that will take place during the Eucharistic prayer, and then the prayer after communion. And most weeks during the year, the collect, the prayer over the offerings, and the prayer after communion are the same prayers Sunday through Saturday. So you'll hear those prayers at Mass on Sunday, and if you go to daily Mass, those same prayers are used most days. There are exceptions to that. So any day that there's a solemnity or a remembrance of a saint, there's optional masses that can be used, and they have their own sets of prayers that go with them. But for the most part, you could be hearing the same those same three prayers Sunday through Saturday. It's a little different during Lent. Each day of the week in Lent, there are different prayers. We don't use the same ones from Sunday on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And I often wonder with the changes in the liturgy that happened after Vatican II, somebody had to go through and write all these prayers. And I'm not quite sure who they are. Maybe at some point I'll try to research it and figure out who it was. But some of these prayers are really beautiful. And I've learned to try to incorporate some of them into my daily prayer life, especially if I can't get to Mass. And I thought I would share the ones from Mass today just to give you an idea. And again, maybe you're somebody that's really attentive at Mass and you've got, you have something with you, the missal or other publication that's got them. If you don't, maybe consider it, especially if you go to Mass every day. I know most of our parishes will have something like breaking bread in the pews, and it'll have everything there for Sunday Mass. But for daily Mass, it'll have the antiphons and not even the readings. It'll tell you what they are. You have to go look them up elsewhere if you wanted to really follow along. So I love carrying a missal and using that at Mass. But just to give you an example, the collect at Mass today, the priest would have said, "Let us pray," and then, "Keep your family, O Lord, schooled always in good works, and so comfort them with your protection here as to lead them graciously to gifts on high." And then there's usually a line at the end. Some are shorter than others, but today's was, "Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever." And so that prayer is one sentence, and it would be real easy to miss it if you don't have it in front of you. So again, today's was, "Keep your family, O Lord, schooled always in good works, and so comfort them with your protection here as to lead them graciously to gifts on high." And so the first part of that, keep your family schooled always in good works. One of the things that separates us from our Protestant brothers and sisters is, the line in James where it says that faith without works is dead. And so while we as Catholics know that we can't earn our way into heaven, there's only one way to get there, and that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some may ask, well, what about the millions or billions of people that have gone before us that had never heard of Jesus, were never evangelized? And they get an opportunity to meet him when they pass, right? And so it doesn't say that you need to know Jesus while you're walking on this planet. It helps, but at least as Catholics, we believe that folks like Native Americans that were never evangelized, or indigenous people that missionaries never reached. Obviously, it's not their fault that they were not evangelized, and it doesn't, and because they were never made aware of Jesus Christ while they walked on this planet, there'll still be an opportunity, of course, when they meet him face to face, and maybe they knew him, but other names or other auspices, and now they come to meet him as the real deal. So, so like I said, we can't earn our way into heaven. There's only one way we get there, and that's on Jesus' crucifixion. He's the one that opened the gates to heaven because he was willing to be the ultimate servant, the ultimate slave, and give up his life for us on the cross, and proved it to us with his resurrection when he came back and let us all know that the gates of heaven, because of what he did, were now open to all of us. Not some of us, not just Catholics, not just Christians, but to everyone. And to that end, that should translate. And what we believe as Catholics is that faith, that belief, that knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of today's gospel, where we are to be slaves or servants, that it's in that belief that we do good works. You know, that good works should be a natural outflow of what we believe. And if they're not, then we need to take a look at what we believe in and what we're doing. And you know, for a long time, I didn't want to look at that. It was probably one of the main reasons that I avoided looking at it, and why I used alcohol and other things to avoid looking at it. Because if I had to take a look at it, I had to admit, to what a not so good person I was. But now that I have the ability to look at things and review my day and look back over the course of my life, it makes me want to do those good works more frequently, or as frequently as God gives me an opportunity to do them. So here in the colic that we heard at Mass today, that we're asking God to school us, if you will, in those good works. And in doing them, so when we do those good works, that's, I believe, at least for me, that's where true joy comes from. When you do something for somebody else, whether they acknowledge it or not, whether they're grateful or not, it still gives us a sense of accomplishment, a sense of doing good. And it's in doing that, I think, that the next line of the prayer, "and so comfort them with your protection here," it's in that joy of knowing that we're protected here, that he's going to lead us graciously to the gifts on high. Everything points to heaven. As Father McKay says, if heaven exists, that's all that matters. And if it doesn't exist, then nothing matters. And so our focus should always be on the prize. And the ultimate prize is to spend all of eternity with our God in heaven. In the prayer over the offerings today, and it's similar most days, I think, but it says, "Look with favor, Lord, on the sacrificial gifts we offer you, and by this holy exchange, undo the bonds of our sins. Through Christ our Lord. Amen." And so the gifts that we offer during the offertory at Mass, we see those gifts in the species of bread and wine. And this prayer, of course, is offered before the consecration and the Eucharistic prayer. But there's also other gifts that we should be offering at that time. While the priest is offering the bread and wine, it's the good works, the sacrifices, the penances, the mortifications, anything that we've done since the last time that we've attended Mass. So for those that can only get there on Sunday or only attend Sunday Mass now, it can be everything that you've done during the week we bring to Mass and on Sunday and offer to the Lord. And the next line says, "And by this holy exchange, undo the bonds of our sins." So the sacrifice, the gifts of bread and wine that the priest will offer to the Father as not just a symbol, but a full reenactment of what happened on Calvary, that it's that which is going to undo the bonds of our sins. And what are the bonds of our sins? It's death. There was no death in the world until the fall. There was no death in the world until sin. There was no illness in the world until there was sin. How much of the illnesses that we experience today, and certainly not all, there's certainly physical illnesses that happen just because the body has a breakdown or starts to break down over time. But there are, I believe, sins that we commit that can bring about health issues like worry and despair and anxiety and those types of things. I know that it's happened in my own case. Back in the 90s, I was going through some stuff, chest pains and what have you. And it was interesting because I went to see a doctor, and what they told me to do was quit my job, that there was too much stress on the job, and that's what was bringing about these physical things that I was feeling. And eventually I did quit that job. I went to other jobs, and it was still the same level of stress, but it was with the relationship that I have with God that realizing that jobs are important. We know we need them to put food on our plate and a roof over our head, clothes on our back. But that's why we have them. They're not there to satisfy us, to bring us joy, to fulfill us, if you will. They can, And certainly there's lines of work that can do that, especially if there's a job like a vocation. Being a Catholic school teacher, I watch it with my son. They're not making a whole lot of money, and so they may make just enough to put food on their table and take care of a roof and clothes, but not a whole lot more than that. But there's a joy that comes from doing that work, a fulfillment that comes from doing that work that certainly other lines of work aren't going to bring you. And so I learned that I couldn't look at my at the work I did to bring me that joy. Now, working with the people that I worked with and trying to minister to them and be there for them on in situations both work-related and in their private life, I was blessed to be able to help some folks when they came to me with, you know, just life problems that they were having and came to me while we were in the workplace. And that was a beautiful thing to be able to help them. And when I think about that, I think about an author I had a ways back, and I forget the author's name, but I don't forget the book. It was called Sacred Conversations, and how important they are in sharing our faith with other people. And it's part of being that servant. When we try to evangelize others, when we have conversations with others about the faith, when we run into them and they're having issues in life that can be helped through a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, and being willing to share that with them, that's a sacred conversation. And it's in those conversations that we not only get to help other people, but a lot of times it helps us as well. Those conversations allow us to know where we are in our faith. And, you know, maybe we get questions from other people about our faith, or, you know, direct questions that we may not have the answer to, and it causes us to maybe go find them. But I think it also confirms for us, you know, what we do know and how much we know. I didn't think I knew very much at all about the faith when I first started working with Kathleen here 14, 15 years ago, however long it was, maybe even longer than that. I certainly wasn't where I am today in my faith. And a lot of that is a direct result of all the wonderful people that I've had an opportunity to work with and talk with and interview on these radio shows. And so when I find myself in a conversation with somebody else sharing something that I learned through something I read, a conversation I had with somebody on the air, you know, it's kind of just a reminder that, you know, maybe I do know a little bit more than I think sometimes, and what a blessing it is. We've got about 5 minutes here, and I do want to get to the prayer after communion. So this is the third of the three prayers that get offered at Mass each day that vary, right? These are the prayers that vary. We have a lot of the prayers are the same ones day in and day out, every Mass we go to. But in this prayer after communion today we hear, let us pray. Grant, we pray, O Lord our God, that what you have given us as the pledge of immortality may work for our eternal salvation through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so a lot of the prayers after communion will come after we've received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. And so the prayer will talk about the efficacy of that, or concentrate on what's taken place as a result of our having received Holy Communion. And in this case, when Jesus instituted the Eucharist, it was to give us the holy nutrition, the spiritual nutrition we need to subsist here on this planet until we're with Him in heaven. And that is what the pledge of immortality. When Jesus, at the Last Supper, instituted the Eucharist, it was followed up with this idea that the gates of heaven will be open, and that we would all experience or have the ability to experience eternal life. We can choose to live for eternal life, or choose to deny it and follow the dark side. But we were given this pledge, and so receiving Holy Communion at Mass either every week, every day, or as frequently as we can get there is a reminder of this pledge of immortality that we have, and that it will work for our eternal salvation. That's why we go to Mass. That's why we hopefully get to the sacraments as often as we can to receive the grace that we need, right? Sacraments are those things instituted by Christ that give grace. The two that we can experience most frequently, obviously the sacrament of reconciliation and going to confession, and Holy Communion at Mass, which again, I understand, you know, some people have really busy lives, and daily Mass is not an option. I'm blessed to be able to get there on most days, and so I know for me, I need all the grace I can get. Left to my own devices, I can easily get sidetracked. If I don't get to Mass for a few days, or don't pray for a few days, and yeah, it's easy to get up and do your prayers in the morning and the ones at night, but it's that daily prayer, all day prayer, that I think benefits it the most. And I just wanted to go through these prayers today in this hour because, depending on where you are in your prayer life, sometimes you know, you may just be getting started, or you may be a daily communicant and have been for years, and may not have paid attention necessarily to these prayers. I think back to the days of the traditional Latin Mass, still have it today, and how many people actually knew what was being said. They probably had an idea of what was going on as far as the activity at Mass and the consecration and that type of thing, but may not have been following the words to a T. And now that we have the Mass in the vernacular and being able to listen to and pray with these beautiful prayers that the Church has given us has been just one more thing in my spiritual arsenal that I've been able to use to help me grow in my own faith. And so don't let the efforts of those that put these together go to waste. Find a way to get your hands on them, whether it's, you know, go out and buy a missal. You can get them on Amazon or any of the Catholic bookstores. I'm sure if you went out to the St. Jude shop in Havertown, they've got the daily Roman missal there. Probably available online at different sites. I think when I go out to the USCCB, I know they have the daily readings out there. I don't know that there's someplace else where they have these daily prayers. But if you're looking to spice up your prayer life and looking for a little change of pace, I think this is a great source that the Church has given us. And folks, if you had told me 30 years ago that I'd be anywhere close to this and being not only knowing a little bit about it, but willing to share about it, not just in a one-on-one conversation, but over the air, I'd have laughed and bought you a beer. And I'd say this to people all the time. If God can do it with me and for me, He wants to do it with you and for you. There's nothing unique about me. There's nothing special about me. I know I'm special in God's eyes because I am unique in some ways, but in terms of being offered the gift of eternal salvation and all that the Church offers us, I am definitely not unique in that. He wants to give it to each and every one of you. You just have to find a way to accept it. And one of the easiest ways I think to do that is to try to get to Mass as often as you can, get to confession at least once a month. All right, so in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about a gentleman that did that, Matt Talbot. I want to give an update on where we are in his cause for canonization, a little update on where the film is. And again, we'll take your questions over Facebook. Check out the Facebook Live at the In His Sign Catholic Radio Facebook page. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, that's what we're going to talk about. Matt Talbot, don't go away.